the only person saying this, but I've been out and about, been at Oceaga, only the one day, but I'm here to tell you all about it, and we've had some friends that I've been talking to as well who've been out in all 3 days, so this week's show is going to be a bit of an immersive Oceaga special, right? We're back from the festival, we're still dealing with the festival blues, and I'm going to make it everyone's problem with a bit of live music throughout the show. I'll tell you a little bit about Oceaga if you've somehow never heard of it, if this is your first time kind of being introduced to the magic of it. Oceaga is a music festival that takes place over in Montreal, out on Parc Jean Drapeau, on the island, and it's this incredible transformation of the park into this festival site. It's been going since 2006, so technically we're at 20 years of the festival, but it was cancelled during 2020 and 2021, so the festival organizers have sort of considered next year to be the big 20th anniversary, the 20th edition of the festival. Started as a bit of an indie festival. It has 6 stages now. The biggest ones are the river and the mountain stages, which are sort of your main stages, the headliners, where you have some of the biggest artists in the world playing. You've got a second pair of stages, the valley and the forest stages, and the way a lot of these stages work is that they sort of alternate between the two stages, so there's no time wasted in setting up a stage while there's no band playing, because they just set up while the band on the stage to the side of them is playing. Then you've got a couple of standalone stages as well, the island stage, which is sort of the home of electronic music at this festival, and you've got an emerging stage, the Sirius XM stage, where you have a lot of local artists from Montreal, upcoming artists being showcased, which is also a really cool thing that they do out there. Oceaga is considered easily one of the best festivals in Canada and one of the best festivals in the world. Started, like I was saying, as a kind of indie festival. Lots of acts like, you know, the Arcade Fires of the world and all have played over there. And I felt like this year, in its sort of 20th technical year, Oceaga sort of went back to its indie roots. There was a lot of guitar music, maybe more so than there has been in previous years as well. Maybe I felt that there was a little bit of rap music lacking this year. The only major rap acts that I could think of being Lil Sims and AJ Tracy, both incredible British rappers who played back-to-back on Saturday afternoon. But as always, you know, lots of guitar bands and the pop star power that the festival has also been known for in the last sort of 10 years or so. Oceaga also continues to book artists just as they're on the cusp of superstardom. This year they booked acts like C-Mat, who had a huge moment early in the year when Olivia Rodrigo covered her song When a Good Man Cries, and that sort of made her one of the biggest artists in the world. Nobody's ever going to see her as small as an afternoon slot again, so everyone that caught her on Sunday afternoon, oh, you're never going to see her this small again. And they always do something like that. You know, they booked Chappell Roan before she blew up. They booked Lola Young when nobody suspected she was going to be a superstar. And they do this every year. So that's also an amazing thing that, you know, you can catch stars before they're huge at Oceaga. But also they brought back a lot of Canadian indie stars, you know, like Wolf Parade, who've had a huge kind of surge, a comeback thanks to Heated Rivalry featuring them on their soundtrack. And stars like Finn Wolf, Fard, you know, who apart from his Stranger Things career, acting career, has also been sort of working away on his music as a Canadian indie artist for the last how many ever years. There's been a lot more rock bands on the list. You had bands like Wonder Horse, who returned after having to pull out last year because of illness and such. Wolf Alice had a huge moment. They really wowed the crowds on the Friday. I saw that one. We saw Reunited the XX. And then on Saturday, you had this back-to-back lineup of bands like Franz Ferdinand, Viagra Boys, Turnstile on the Valley stage and the Forest stages. And if that wasn't already good enough, Canada's biggest new stars, guitar stars anyway, Angine de Poitrine, made a surprise appearance on the main stage as well, basically hitting the only festival that, you know, conspicuously wasn't on their calendar already. They've been doing every single Canadian festival. Everyday, like I was saying, also had impressive pop firepower. The Saturday headliner was Tate McRae. You had artists like Samba on the list too. You know, Tate kind of going, oh, she's Canada down and everything. Sunday was headlined by Lorde. And Friday, the day that I was there, we saw 21 Pilots put on this huge production. Although, to be honest, I was over at the other stages watching Geese headline. So, something for everyone, right? But another really interesting thing about Oceaga is the way that it always falls on the same weekend as Lollapalooza in Chicago. So we end up sharing a lot of these the same artists: Geese, Viagra Boys, CMAT, Little Sims, Tate McRae, Wonderhorse, Lorde, XX. So many of the artists played both festivals. So they're often like here and then rushing over to the other city, which is like 12 hours away and such. But the good thing about that this year is, you know, Oceaga is not a televised festival, but Lollapalooza this year teamed up with Disney Plus to live stream some of the sets. So I want to try and bring some of the live music experience alive to our airwaves. So I'm going to try and play some artists who have been at Oceaga, who are also playing at Lollapalooza. So we'll play maybe a couple of Lollapalooza sets on air. And I'm going to start off with some music by the XX, who are actually playing in the background. You can hear a little bit of their closing track intro, which they close all of their shows with, from Lollapalooza. They headlined at Lollapalooza. They were on a little earlier at Oceaga, and you don't realize it's been 8 years since we last saw the XX, and they come out, they've got such a like singular image, very tight look. They come out looking very cool. They look like they're in the Matrix, and you forget just how big they were when everyone's kind of singing along to songs like Crystallize and Islands and all those songs. They're also clearly very fond of Oceaga. Romy has played it 2 years ago when she was doing her solo album tour in 2024. And then Jamie XX closed out, I think, the island stage last year, the electronic stage. And so it was only fair and fitting that they bring the whole reunited band together here 2 years later. And I just can't stop talking about the aesthetics, the tight look of the XX. Like, with them, everything's kind of like clean cut, modern looking, and also quite looking like a sort of Apple Music ad, from the iPod ads from like 2000s, which is a little bit before their time, but they fit that kind of that clean cut look very well. And they have these stage lightings as well that are kind of in the shape of the big X logo of the XX, and it just looks very cool and very incredible. And I think a lot of people were very happy to see them back. So I'm going to play us Crystallized, which was the opening song when they headlined Lollapalooza on the Sunday night. And you can find that album, of course, at thexx.bandcamp.com. I also want to talk about and play one artist who wasn't at Oceaga but is a British musician that we've been talking about a lot on this show and in the world of music. Charlie XCX didn't make it up to Montreal. However, you know, her new album Music Fashion Film has come out and she's taken it on tour. And I think this album, which kind of has had a lot of people scratching its head, you know, people have been like, does this album have kind of staying power on the dance floor? Because it's worth mentioning, of course, only because Charlie came up on the dance floor. That's her home, right? So I think a lot of people are kind of scratching their heads going, will she be able to tour an album that's kind of anti-dance in a way and is more like electronic and more kind of intellectual and stuff like that? And absolutely. So she put on an art show, and it was one of the most incredible things to see. Her set at Lollapalooza, which was one of the headline sets, once again, was pretty heavy on rap tunes. She hasn't given that up. But then she's also come out with a live band, and she's got this like heavy live guitar band, live drums, all that stuff. And when she plays some of the songs from this album, from her new album, she ended the set with No One Lasts Forever. And that is just such an incredible moment that I'm going to play it for us. It's worth, if you're able to, just, you know, search around on YouTube and stuff and find a performance of it. Because it ends with, she's got David Cronenberg, Canadian filmmaker, doing a sort of, almost a conversational voiceover on at the end of that track. And one of the major themes of this album is kind of about legacy and, you know, destroying legacy and it not really lasting forever, and this is the end of her set. And she and her dancers are standing there, they just kind of freeze in front of the big screen. David Cronenberg's captions going, "No one lasts forever, they are dead, they are gone," repeating over and over, and his voice is decaying, and the sort of music around it is just this glitching, harsh guitar sounds. It ends with them just panning out as he goes, "Oblivion is freedom," and then it cuts to black. And it's just such an incredible, powerful way to end your headline set at Lollapalooza Festival. So I'm going to play that for us, even though it's not Oshiaga related. But we'll start off with the XX. This is Crystallized from their headline set at Lollapalooza Festival. And then we'll listen to Vidichal the XX, and then we'll come back and talk more about Oshiaga Festival.
Pressure to have me crystallize, and you've got the faith that I could bring paradise. Closer to the sun,
I wish that
once in small doses. So don't think I'm pushing you away when you're the one that I've got closest. Go on slow.
Lollapalooza. This is my last song. I'm Charlie XCX.
Thank you.
I'm irresponsible and rude, that I'll put the drugs in my veins. So now I'm sitting on the floor of a Parisian apartment with a French girl talking about reality. She says no one really knows what the future holds, but we know nothing's gonna last forever, and no one's gonna last forever. So nothing's gonna last forever, and no one's gonna last forever. So nothing's gonna last forever. That's why I'm not scared of anyone, 'cause nothing's gonna last forever. But you need to discover that feeling of the crushing highs and lows of ego, where one minute you know you're the worst, then the next minute you know you're better than everyone in the room. But know that nothing's gonna last forever, and you're not gonna last forever. So nothing's gonna last forever, and you're not gonna last forever. So nothing's gonna last forever.
CX, No One Lasts Forever from her Thursday headline set at Lollapalooza. just this weekend, just such a powerful, powerful statement. You've got to go and try and find the performance of it and just watch her and her dancers doing it. I think she put on such a great show. I watched most of her set. And, you know, it's just like when she comes out live, and obviously you get this from the album too, but, you know, she's doing songs like Spring Summer 2026, and she's kind of singing about how we're all engaging in music, fashion, film, and in the meanwhile, the world is burning, and there's a big, like, existential theme on the album. But as she's singing up on a platform, there's, like, this sort of runway of models just walking underneath her, and then above her bands playing, and it's just such a great performance. You've got to go check that out. We also heard a little bit of music from the XX. You can actually hear them in the background as well. This is also from Lollapalooza, because Lollapalooza broadcast its performances this year, so I said let's make use of that, you know. So we're gonna listen to some Lollapalooza performances, mostly of artists that also played Oceaga on that busy weekend for live music. I just love the XX's very, very tight aesthetic, the way everything's kind of neat and so minimalist, and, you know, they look very cool. And then they also have this, like, moment of letting loose in a crazy way, because everything's kind of, like, electronic and like, a very thought out and stuff. But then at the end, when they're doing the intro, the song intro, as their outro, Oliver Sim will bring up this single cymbal stand and just crash on it towards the end, which is just such a great way to close it out. You can find Charlie XCX, by the way, on her website. I don't need to tell you this, but charliexcx.co.uk. CharlieXCX.com, but I'm going to tell you anyway, because we play a lot of smaller artists on the show as well most of the time, and I like to make a habit of giving out Bandcamp links, website links, places where you can support artists outside of just the streaming system, because streaming doesn't really pay them well. So what we do on Campus and Community Radio is we support the community and we go and try and support artists independently. Okay, so I'm going to talk about a few other artists that I saw playing on Friday afternoon. So there was this big block of indie and rock guitar music on the main stage on Friday, which was really fun. You had this back-to-back block of indie guitar and rock music, starting with Wonderhorse, who had to pull out last year because their singer Jacob Slater had, like, I don't remember, it was like a tooth problem or something. So for health reasons, they had to pull out of both Lollapalooza and Oceaga last year, and they're back, and they put them back on pretty much on the exact same time slot that they would have been last year. And this time, you know, they absolutely killed it. They came out, they were having fun. They seem really into it, which is always a great thing. And they put on a great show. They're working on some new music. Like, we haven't really heard a lot from them since their second album, Midas, came out in 2024. And then they released a single last year called The Rope. But they've played a couple of unreleased new songs at the festival. And one of them, Emily, is a little bit more of a slower contemplative track and stuff. They weren't one of the televised bands at Lollapalooza, though, so I'm just telling you about this. I also want to talk about Wet Leg and maybe a little bit about crowd issues. So Wet Leg, absolutely incredible live performance. They come out on stage, and I feel like you really have to just feel the songs with the crowd and kind of enjoy it in that way, because they flood the stage with smoke. There are times when you absolutely can't see the band. So you're really just enjoying the music with the crowd. You're singing along. They're really good at doing sing-alongs and such. And, you know, their music is kind of made for festivals. It's such a great time singing along to some of their really fun and, you know, like, hilarious choruses and stuff at times. And they're not an unknown band at this point. They've also been featured in the Heated Rivalry soundtrack now with their song Mosh 2, which was one of the big closers of their set. And other than that, they've had, you know, obviously hits like Chaise Longue, which was at one point in 2021 one of the biggest indie songs in the world. And they've been having hits and such. Their new album Moisturizer that came out last year was also a very, very well received album. And even if you don't know the words, they're very fun and will involve you. And they've got a song of theirs called Your Mum, which was on their first album, where they have this scream of frustration that the whole crowd gets involved in. And I experienced that scream last year at History in Toronto when they played as part of their tour, but it's always just better at a festival. And so one of the bucket list things for me was to check off doing the Your Mum Scream at a festival, and I have done it at Oceaga. But I want to talk about crowd issues. So I've not seen this before at Oceaga, and I will say that Montreal has some of the best crowds I have ever experienced, usually. But I've heard this happening at other festivals, and I think we saw a little bit of it at Oceaga this year. But sometimes people come only for the headliner, who's a huge artist, especially on the main stages and such, and they will come out and camp at the barricade to like get a spot for the headliner who's coming on at like 9:30 in the night, and then they don't want anything to do with any of the other artists. So they'll just kind of sit around, back turned to the audience, you know, sitting down on the ground or like on their phone or just generally not getting involved. And so what ends up happening is your artist that's up on stage is seeing this like this empty pit for about 20 rows. So that's what we saw at Wet Leg. We're kind of standing there trying to get involved, trying to have fun, but there's this empty pit of like 20 rows of 21 Pilots fans that just wanted nothing to do with the performance and such. And so that was one of the weakest, not most non-existent Your Mum Screams I've ever heard. It was absolutely not a vibe. It was, there was no energy in it, and it just kind of felt very like there was nobody there. So instead, I'm glad to say that Lollapalooza had a slightly better time with the Your Mum Scream. So we're gonna listen to their Your Mum performance at Lollapalooza in Chicago, which was definitely a better time. You can find them at wetleg.bandcamp.com. They wouldn't be the only band to face such issues. I heard that on the second day as well, there was, right in the front, there was no energy for bands like Angine de Poitrine, who are at the moment one of the most coveted tickets to see live, because you had Tate McRae fans in front who were not really enjoying the festival and taking it in as a whole, but just camped out for her and were just like actively not getting the Angine vibe. So the first 20 rows were just dead, and then you had a couple of people in the back dancing around doing the sort of the hand signs and all that kind of stuff. They were also really good though. They now have a visual screen behind them rather than just the little polka dotted cloth, and they're clearly having a great time at festivals. They're getting silly with it. They're really just enjoying music and enjoying the opportunity they've got to be playing almost a show a day, which is what I think any artist of their kind wants. So they're amazing, but I wish the crowd was a little bit better. Still, we soldier on. There were other really good performances as well. Blood Orange, Dev Hynes brought his band out to both Oceaga and Lollapalooza. I wasn't actually able to catch his set because I was backstage doing an interview that you'll be hearing later on in the show today. But his band is so tight. They bring on a great performance. You forget just how many hits he and his band have as well. And, you know, the kind of the long career he had. And he has had. And even at Lollapalooza, he pulled out some old hits from like 2013 and stuff. And all of it just goes down super, super well. He put out an album last year called Essex Honey that he toured. He was in Toronto last October. And him and his band just build this immersive world, even at 6 in the evening. So I'm going to dip into a little bit of that. Play a slightly older song called Jesus Freak Lighter from Lollapalooza. You can find his work at bloodorange.net. And then I'm going to play some AJ Tracy, who brought a very high energy set on Saturday and also recently released a new single called Baja Blast. So that's the one I'm going to be playing for us. You can find him at ajtracy.co.uk. Let's get started off with Wet Leg, live from Lollapalooza, Your Mum, here on CFRC Radio.
Think about what you've become. I feel sorry for your mom. You say we're all having fun. Do you know? You're the only one. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Jason.
Hello from Beverly Hills. I'm eating my breakfast, counting up all these peas. Got the gal them calling me Sosa, cut my chain glow and I'm in true jeans. Push the Yukon, but I'm not Bieber. Team leader, we ain't watching beef. Factory piece, same color as Baja Blast. No way am I losing sleep. My sofa score says 9.5. Could the ops gave up on their diving? Could have been 10, but I'm playing in 10. Should have played bro free, but I skied it. They say hate's jarring, I don't mind it. Can't hate being rich, you ain't tried it. I'm in LA with my blood clot steppers. The 2 and the 4 made a drink turn violet. I just got a new bag from Chrome, but it's funky. I'll go GQ and I'll style it. Couldn't half step trip, I full time it. The things want a little trace, so I won't buy it. I gotta turn off my phone when I'm dining. I eat lobster, cause I've been out here grinding. No jewels tracksuit, and I'm still shining. I stay around dirt like I'm mining. USDT into BTC, make man disappear for a while. Be out, my bro let air with a smile. They were trying to gatekeep, but I'm tearing it down. On stage, I don't want to see anyone hurt, but the mosh pits tend to be wild. Sorry. West London, I went clear with a style. They don't want to hear me, I better hear it now. Hello from Beverly Hills, I'm eating my breakfast, counting up all these peas. Got the gal them calling me Sosa, cut my chain glow and I'm in true jeans. Push the Yukon, but I'm not Bieber. Team leader, we ain't watching beef. Factory piece, same color as Baja Blast. No way am I losing. So I told El Boy, bring round the truck and wait in a sly rush, don't finish the duck. I'm trying to move, but the crib's too lush. There's a party tonight, but I might be stuck. The things love us, could we kill these bills? I'm in Grom Hot Vegas, filling up tills. Lucy Liu lookalikes wanna chill, not build. Just fling on the house, pop pills. And I'm an anxious guy, so I stay around buying. I'll listen to yap online. And if you're talking plaques, better mention mine. Got more than them I combined. I'm a London boy in LA for a week. My Euro steps too chic. Aftermarket things can't come to the AP. I like them peace unique. Hello from Beverly Hills. I'm eating my breakfast, counting up all these peas. Got the gal them calling me Sosa, cut my chain glow and I'm in true jeans. Push the Yukon, but I'm not Bieber. Team leader, we ain't watching beef. Factory piece, same color as Baja Blast. No way am I losing sleep. Hello from Beverly Hills. Got the gal them calling me Sosa. Hello from Beverly Hills. Got the gal them calling me Sosa.
AJ Tracy, Baja Blast, welcome back to the Yellow Brick Road, folks. We're doing an Oceaga special. AJ Tracy also played at Oceaga just before the incredible Little Sims, who's one of my favorite shows that I saw last year. We also heard a little bit of Wet Leg and Blood Orange. In fact, we heard performances of theirs from Lollapalooza Festival this year because we happened to share the same weekend and because they're not crazy far apart, only just a 12-hour drive or whatever. We tend to share a lot of artists on the lineup, and they televised a lot of Lollapalooza this year. So I thought I'd try and bring some of those performances to the airwaves so you can sort of feel like you're experiencing the live festival weekend as well. Lollapalooza is bigger. I think they have a much more expansive lineup compared to Oceaga's. They also have 4 days where we have just the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so it's a bigger festival, but there's still a lot of overlap in the lineup, and we get to see some incredible artists over that weekend. Sorry, folks, my throat is just, ever since I did the Your Mum scream during Wet Leg set, my throat has not been the same. It's still recovering, but I love to tell you all about music, and so that's what I'm going to be doing. I saw Wolf Alice live, and they put out an album last year. They had a kind of shift in intention where I think they kind of just wanted to give it everything. They moved labels, they're now on RCA. They had a bit of an image makeover, they had a little bit of a sound makeover, and they came out just as really confident and as confident performers with great stage presence. They're now not afraid to bring a little bit of pop sensibility into their music, incorporating a little bit of like pop star elements, but then they are fundamentally such incredible performers to begin with that you just feel the power when they play live. And so they return to Montreal this time as superstars. They have great stage presence, but they're also balancing a lot of their, new powerful choruses on songs like Bloom Baby Bloom with some of their older hits going all the way, almost 10 years back to songs like Yuck Fu, which was quite a powerful moment during their set where Ellie Rosell comes out with this megaphone and she's down by the crowd and just kind of like, strutting around on stage with these heavy, heavy, almost metal guitars playing around her, falling all over the stage and stuff, as the rest of the band does too. And I think that was one of the most photographed moments of their set at Oceaga for sure, just Ellie with her megaphone up on that stage. But it never starts to feel like the Ellie Rosell show, because pretty much their second song on the set is White Horses, which their drummer Joel sings on instead. And the whole band is kind of facing him, playing to him, and also getting the crowd involved. I think they're a band with great stage presence. They'll be supporting Olivia Rodrigo this November as part of the Canadian leg of her North American tour. It'll be some of the biggest North American shows they've ever done, having last done like history to 2,500 people when they toured for their album last year. But I think they're absolutely ready for the arena tours. They put on a great show. And I'll tell you what, there were parts of the album that I was a bit hot and cold on when I first heard it, and there were some songs that were a little bit slower that I was like, I'm not super into, like The Sofa, which actually has gone on to be one of their biggest hits. But I was standing out there in the crowd watching them play The Sofa, and folks, I thought I was gonna cry. Like, the way they play it live, I'm not sure what it is about it, but there's something about it just draws out that emotion in you. So I'm gonna play The Sofa for us live, but from Lollapalooza Festival, of course. You can find their music at wolfalice.co.uk. We saw other really incredible artists as well on the lineup. Franz Ferdinand, just such consummate professionals as performers. They're another band that I think is just a really good hang at a festival. C-Mat, the queen. Now, she played on the Sunday. I didn't get to see her, but I was obviously looking eagerly for clips. And friend of the show, Gazelle, who was at the last CMAT show that happened in Toronto and has been on the show when we did our end of the year wrap-up, she saw CMAT, and CMAT just brings such incredible firepower. She's supporting Brandi Carlile in Vancouver, and she is absolutely about to blow up and become one of the biggest artists. Her and her very sexy CMAT band, which is what the live CMAT band is called, put in all the effort. You know, they're bringing you a full package of great tunes, choreography, incredible performance. It's such a fun, involved thing where the whole crowd can't just help get involved. I wish I could bring you her set from Lollapalooza, though, because she wasn't televised. What a crime is that? Instead, what I can do is play you a few artists that were not at Oceaga, but are still British artists that played at Lollapalooza. So I'm going to play us a little bit of Suki Waterhouse, British alternative artist. She also brought a surprisingly pop production to Chicago, a very confident set in support of her new album that just came out last month, Loveland. It started with this sort of telephone helpline voiceover playing in the background, just directing people to Loveland. And there was this big sign on her stage just saying, "Welcome to Lollapalooza." And she comes out with this pop star swagger, her live band swinging, and she kills it. So from the album, I'll play a new song that she performed called Any Man. She's going to be playing in Vancouver on the 8th of August, like 2 days from now. And then she'll be in Toronto playing at the Coca-Cola Coliseum in September, 19th of September. You can find her music at sukiwaterhouse.bandcamp.com. But lastly for this set, I'm going to play us some music from Olivia Dean. Now, she didn't perform at Oceaga this year, but she was in Toronto last night, did kind of two back-to-back sold-out shows, for which she actually fought to have her tickets reasonably priced. So she's already a star in my eyes. She's going to be in Montreal tomorrow as well on the 7th. She's playing Sonsobel, and she is absolutely deserves to be playing the biggest venues in the world. Her album, The Art of Loving, has become one of the biggest albums of this year, of last year. She recently broke a record as well. I think she's become the Guinness record holder for the longest running single on the charts ever. And this was for the collaborative song that she did with Sam Fender. Now, it is Sam Fender's song, Rein Me In, but it's the version that they worked on together collaboratively, where she added a verse of her own that seems to have just become one of the biggest songs in the UK. And she's never played it as part of her sets. She's only ever joined Sam Fender when, like, he played London Stadium and St. James Park and stuff, and she's performed it with him. But she added it to her set because it seems Sam Fender was actually in Chicago when she was playing her set. He joined her on stage, and that was a song that they played just before she did her biggest hit, Man I Need, from The Art of Loving. So I'm going to be playing us that version of the song. You can find her music at oliviadino.com. Let's start off with some Wolf Alice. This is The Sofa, live from Lollapalooza Festival on CFRC Radio.
I hope I can accept the wild thing, yeah, me.
Booth, you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
I should spend my money on a good disguise.
Hi, babe.
If that means that I can just go out tonight. I've been dealing with this burden all my life. Guess I should admit that I'll be in my prime till I die. You can roll your eyes, say I'm telling lies. There's a pattern here, I wish that I could tell you why. I can make any man fall. It's a criminal kind of mind control. So funny when they go crazy. I'm not doing much. Just second nature, baby. Any man at all. Any man at all. I quit this.
much, I'm not doing much. Just take a nature, baby. Any man at all.
Let me hear you.
Any man at all. Any man at all.
Woo!
Any man at all. Any man at all. You can roll your eyes, see you feel alive. There's a pattern here, I wish that I could show you why.
Hi Chicago, hi Lola, how we doing? Welcome to Loveland. Welcome to Loveland, Lollapalooza.
I'm very proud to be part of a song that's just broken the Guinness World Record of the longest the longest running number one in UK history. And I'm so proud to be a part of it, and it only felt right that we play it for the first time ever in America with the man himself, Mr. Sam Fender.
Just pay.
legendary Olivia Dean as part of Olivia Dean's headline set on the Saturday night at Lollapalooza Festival in Chicago this year. This is one of the biggest songs in the world right now, folks. And it put Olivia Dean firmly besides, you know, one of the biggest K-pop artists right now, Jennie, as a headliner on that Saturday stage. And she absolutely deserves all the success that she's been getting. She's actually playing in Montreal again tomorrow night as part of her tour, The Art of Loving Tour. And from what I've been seeing, the clips and everything, it's just such a joyous time when people go and see her live. We also had music on that last set from Suki Waterhouse, a song Any Man, as well as Wolf Alice with The Sofa, which was a song that actually moved me to tears when I saw it live. Folks, I'm going to play us some non-Oshiega music before we get into our interview, which was that I caught up with an incredible artist called Super Plage, who's been making really cool, like, synth funk pop music out in Quebec. And he and his band, his group of friends, were the openers of Friday's Oshiega. So they opened up the whole festival on the main stage. And I caught up with him after to talk about his music, about the albums he's been putting out, about his music philosophy and such, but I'm gonna throw in two artists completely unrelated to Oshiega before we do that. I'm gonna play us some music from a new London trio that I found on Bandcamp this week called TV for Cats. It's kind of like if